Welcome to the Lexington Public Library's Tales from the Kentucky Room podcast, where we discuss everything Lexington and Fayette County history. I'm Miriam, and in each episode of this podcast, we will feature a guest that will share a piece of local history. So thank you for tuning in and enjoy. One of Lexington's more popular business districts is the Distillery District on Manchester Street. This 25-acre property was originally home to the historic James E. Pepper Distillery, which began making bourbon in 1879. However, in 1958, the site was abandoned and remained unused for 50 years. In 2008, local entrepreneurs teamed up to revive the area and turned it into the vibrant hangout spot for those seeking food, drink, and being merry. If you've visited the James E. Pepper Distillery, you may have seen the picture of one Ella Offit Pepper, the wife of James E. Pepper. Underneath the image is the caption, "Miss Ella O. Pepper, Queen of the Turf, 1856 to 1939. Above the image, the caption reads, "Miss Ella O. Pepper repaired husband's failing fortunes by establishing a racing stable." The image itself is intriguing, but having read the caption and the accompanying article, I wanted to know more. Today on the podcast, we have librarian J.P. Johnson to tell us more about the fascinating life of Ella Offit Pepper. Hi, J.P. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, Miss Ella Offit Pepper. So, give us a little bit of a background on her, where she was born, where her upbringing was, etc.
Well, Ella's family was from Shelby County. There it is. And she was born in 1856. She was born the month after her father died. Her father was James Offit. Her mother was Mary Jane Finch. And they were a very well-to-do family in Shelby County. When Mr. Offit died, he had an estate of about $8,000. That included about 10 horses amongst other livestock. And that is about $300,000 in today's money. Mrs. Offit then remarried to a man named Harbison, who in 1870 had an estate of $30,000, which is about $700,000 today. So they were a fairly well-to-do family. And in the newspaper articles, it mentioned that Ella was very much a socialite. She was actually named after her father. Her full name is James Ella Offit, but she was a socialite. She was well known in both Louisville and Lexington. And at one point, there were several newspaper articles that mentioned that she was one of the most beautiful women in the United States at that time.
Because it was easy to compare.
Well, I think there's some line from Jane Austen, would she not be so beautiful if she wasn't so rich? But she also apparently was a very good businesswoman as well, because she would at one point take over, after marrying James Pepper, she would take over his business because he was fairly sickly. And she was also known for she owned quite a few horses herself and raced them, and they won very well. And she was, one of the things that she did is that as soon as her horses won, she would sell them off so that she didn't have to then take care of them once they quit running as much.
So kind of offloading the asset. Yeah. So a little more about the early background. How did she, you know, leave Shelbyville or Shelby County, sorry, and come to the Lexington area? Or,
well, she first lived in, before she came to Lexington, she first lived in Louisville. I think the society that she lived in, there was a lot of back and forth between the areas. But she would first marry a man named Louis Roger Keene, who at one point owned the Louisville Hotel, which was a huge hotel built before the Galt House. And in 1879, he gives Ella 177 shares in the hotel. So I assume they got married in 1879. In 1880, they're in the census, and it lists him as a secretary at the hotel. It doesn't say he's an owner, but they're living together in the hotel. By the, I think, 1881, he has sued her for divorce.
Wow.
He's trying to get back his shares. That seems to fall through, but by 1884, she's suing him for divorce. And it was a very well-publicized divorce case. Like, it was
that's
in the
interesting
paper a
to
lot.
Me, like, that he even gave her the shares in the first place, because that's not something common. You know, it's not usually what the husband owned, he owned.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that she, I don't know, maybe able to convince him to buy her the shares, sell her the shares, or
I'm not sure. I don't. We're dealing with people who have way more money than I will probably ever have. So who knows? Like
their thought process.
Yeah. Like there's no telling. Like it seems in both her marriages, Ella was the money behind a lot of what was happening. Mm. So it could be that this was sort of an exchange of property, like, you know, marry me and I'll give you like controlling shares in this business. The divorce was wild. At one point, Louis Keen is arrested.
Wow.
And I think it was because he threatened someone having to do with the court case. And then when he was released, his supporters met him at the jail with a band, and they marched him back to the Louisville Hotel where he gave some grand speech on the nature of humanity.
Wow.
It was wild. But like I said, by 1884, something happened in which now Ella is suing him for divorce. And obviously it goes through because in 1888, she marries James Edward Pepper.
Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine if TMZ existed back then?
Well, that's what the newspapers were. It totally is. They were into it. I printed it off. So this is from December 25th, 1884. He wants his shares. The row between Councilman Louis Keene and his wife was started afresh by a suit in the Law and Equity Court yesterday. The suit is brought by Mr. Keene, who seeks to recover 177 shares of the capital stock of the Louisville Hotel Company, which he gave to the defendant in 1879. He was then the owner of one-fourth of the real estate in the hotel and transferred to his wife one-half of his interest. He alleges that the judgment of divorce granted his wife by Judge Simmerall last Monday directed that each restore to other all property received by said marriage and unexpended at the time of the divorce suit has begun. He says she has no right to make this transfer and sues for his recovery by virtue of the divorce judgment. Harbison and the Louisville Hotel Company are made defendants. There was something else that I that mentioned.
She was
her.
She was eventually granted the divorce. Did she get any money out of it?
That I don't know. I she may have just kept what was already hers, which she had quite a bit. Here's actually the one I was. Mrs. Ella Keene. This is also from 1884. Mrs. Ella Keene has renewed her suit for divorce against Louis Keene. The new action has been filed in the Law and Equity Court. The plea is the old one of Keene's cruelty. She charges that he drove her away from the Louisville Hotel where they were then living on the night of February 28th, 1881. So can you imagine that kind of thing just being put in today's newspaper?
Yeah.
Especially so that I think that speaks to the popularity of the couple, though. Like we do see that kind of stuff today with celebrity. And
Yeah, that's interesting. So she, after her marriage dissolved, and she goes on about her business, both with her personal and business, she meets James E. Pepper.
Uh-huh.
When did that happen?
That I don't know of. It seems, like I said, they just ran in the same circles. The reporting of the wedding mentions that their friends knew that it was going to happen, but when it did actually happen, it was a surprise. And it was actually only at the wedding, her immediate family were the only other people there, which sounds a little bit like sort of that maybe she was pregnant. Because if that were to happen to regular folk, usually if it was kept quiet, someone was in trouble.
Yeah.
But they never had any children. As far as I know, she didn't have any children with Mr. Keene. She didn't have any children with Colonel Pepper.
Yeah.
So this is the reporting about the wedding of Ella Offutt Keene to James E. Pepper. And I really like it because it sounds very much like Jane Austen. If Jane Austen liked bourbon horses and life insurance.
Go ahead, JP.
I think this is from the Louisville Courier-Journal. Although the event has for some time been anticipated by the intimate friends of the prominent parties, yet the announcement of the marriage of James E. Pepper, Esquire of Lexington, to Mrs. Ella Offutt Keene of Shelby County will come in the nature of a great surprise. The wedding took place at 7 o'clock Friday evening, July 25th, at the residence of the bride's mother, Mrs. M.J. Harbison, in Shelby County, the Reverend Mr. Frierson of the Presbyterian Church, Shelbyville, officiating. The wedding was a very quiet one, only the immediate family of the bride being present. Famous as is Kentucky for the beauty of her women, the bride has long been acknowledged the peer of the most beautiful and loveliest in all the land. Her splendid presence, bright intellect, and unfailing geniality made her popular in every circle and her company always eagerly sought. The groom, James E. Pepper of Lexington, is one of the best known and most prominent men in business circles in the state, and one of the most popular. He is descended from an old and wealthy Virginia family and has succeeded to the management of one of the largest distilleries in Kentucky, where the famous Old Pepper whiskey is made. During a recent visit to New York, the New York World thus referred to him, James E. Pepper of Lexington, Kentucky is one of the handsomest men seen at St. James in many a day. Tall, admirably proportioned, he attracts the eye of the casual wayfarer, not as quickly, perhaps, but as certainly as would one of the blooded racers or bouncing beauties for which the bluegrass country is noted. The balmy breezes of old Kentuck seem to blow through his big black side whiskers, even here in New York. They have blown him in a good share of this world's goods, too, thanks to the peculiarly bourbon industry in which he has succeeded his father and grandfather before him, and which is often toasted by people who never heard of James E. Pepper. Another mention of him, and which shows the manner of man he is, says, Mr. James E. Pepper is a young man and unmarried, but most remarkably successful in business. He carries $85,000 of life insurance, $50,000 of which is in the Equitable Life Assurance Society of New York. Being asked why he insured for so large a sum, he said that he considered it the best investment of his money that he could make. Being prosperous is my business, said he. I have invested a considerable life insurance as a safeguard and for the benefit of my estate. My policy runs for 20 years when it will be payable. I know of no other plan by the investment of so many a sum annually that would ensure so profitable and so certain a return. James E. Pepper is a rich man now, and he bids fair to be one of the millionaires of Kentucky. Mr. and Mrs. Pepper started yesterday morning for New York, where they will remain at the St. James Hotel until July 31st, when they will sail for Europe by the German line. Their party will be composed of Mr. and Mrs. Hart and Mr. Baldwin of New York and Mr. Dudley of Mississippi. When in Germany, they will be joined by Mr. Pepper's sister, Miss Dixie Pepper, and Miss Rayleigh, who are now living abroad. The party expect to return the latter part of September. The couple will carry with them the hearty good wishes of a multitude of friends in every section of the country.
Oh, wow. These marriage announcements always crack me up. So give us a little bit of background about Miss Colonel Pepper.
Well, Colonel Pepper is the grandson of Elijah Pepper, who basically started the bourbon industry in Kentucky. He opened in the 1880s the James Pepper Distillery, which would eventually be sold to his wife, Ella. He also bought the Meadowthorpe Farm, which is where Meadowthorpe neighborhood is now. And they lived there until, well, Ella lived there after James' death. According to Betty Lee Maston, James Pepper was very flamboyant, but he was known as one of the better businessmen of the time. And he is, you know, people who didn't know him knew his product,
yeah,
the bourbon.
So tell us about, like, the dynamics of that marriage. Was it a happy marriage?
As far as I know,
she seems like she took over.
Yeah, as far as I know, it seems that he was, at some point, became sickly. He was very much a man of his time. The picture I've seen, he's a bigger man, but I'm sure he drinks his bourbon, he smokes his cigars, he eats his whatever food he wants, and I'd say he probably just lived a very good life, but it was hard on his body. So when he becomes sickly, he sells the business and the property to his wife, and she starts to take care of it. She's also racing thoroughbreds at the time as well. Not for very long. I think she races for a season, and then she sells them off. And then she keeps saying over and over again, I'm going to give up racing horses. But then she keeps buying horses and racing them and selling them. When James Pepper dies in 1906, it is said that she collapses at the news of his death. So I feel like they very much loved each other. There was not any sort of the same reporting that there was of the King marriage. And I think they benefited from each other, mm-hmm, quite well.
Yeah. It was a very mutual, you know, relationship.
Mutual society.
Well, in the current distiller district, they have a picture of Ella Offit Pepper, and underneath it is an article, and it talks about like the love story of their marriage and all that. So it seems like they had a pretty nice marriage. What about the distillery part of the business? Was she involved in that at all? Or
she was, but she and the board sold that off in 1907. And she got a huge sum of money from Pepper's death, and the distillery was sold off, and it wasn't reopened until like 2014, I think. I have the article about that, but yeah, it was sold off. I don't know what was done to the property, but she really didn't have anything to do with it. She focused mostly on Middlethorpe Farm and horses until she also in the early 20th century sold the property to Samuel Halley and his family, and she continued to rent and live there until she moved. She bought property in Mintel Park, and she would eventually move there in, I think, a house owned by some member of her stepfather's family. There's an article about her living at the Harbison house. And Samuel Halley would eventually be the people who built the first airport in Lexington out at Middlethorpe Farm. Like I was saying, I have an article that says that Middlethorpe Farm house, the big house, was still, someone named Charles Marshall was still living there in 1974. But after that, the property was already being sold off as lots. And I'm not exactly sure when the house itself was torn down.
Yeah. That would be interesting to
find out. But then the James E. Pepper Distillery, yes, it opened more recently, 2014, I believe, and is this is how I learned about Ella Offit Pepper, because someone who works at the distillery came in, and I noticed that they were the only people in the Kentucky Rue Buzz. Walked up to them, and they were like, "Yeah, I'm from the distillery. I'm learning about this woman," because they were interested, because Ella at one point sues the man who's training her horses because she says that the training that she's giving the horses is hurting the horses, or hurting the value of the horses. So she takes him to court and sues this man, and as is the case with a lot of the things with the Lexington Herald Leader, they tend to be really good about starting to tell the story, but they never tell you how it ends.
So how successful was she as a horse racing businesswoman? Did she have any luck in the horse racing?
Yes. In the 1890s, there are several articles about Mrs. Pepper racing her horses. They were all from the same, I don't know if it's the sire or if it's the mare. She owned a horse called Kentucky, and it seemed like all the horses that she had were from that.
Descendants from that horse. Mm-hmm.
She had a horse named Pacemaker who won a colt race at Newport in 1897.
So she made a name for herself in the horse racing industry, obviously, with her own horses.
So, like, she owned the horse, the Kentucky Colonel, which sold for $10,000
Wow.
in 1898, which I did not look to see how much that was. She had a couple dozen horses that she sold, like, she ran and sold them all. There was a horse named Black Venus that sold for $7,500. Satin Slipper sold for $4,100. King Barleycorn, $3,500. And there's nothing in the reporting that says so-and-so told her to do it. It seemed like she
made
what
the decisions.
To do. Yes.
Yeah. And it seemed like she was very quickly turning around and selling these horses in order to make an even bigger profit.
Yes. So here's a little tidbit from 1899. The retirement of Mrs. Ella Offit Pepper from the turf after one of the most brilliant seasons of success ever scored by a Kentucky devotee of the thoroughbred is considered a great loss to turf sports. She shrewdly saw that the horses would bring more money when their prestige was fresh in the minds of prospective purchasers. Besides, she would be taking no risks on the horses dying or getting out of condition. Then she wanted the money for a purpose, and that purpose was to assist her husband, Colonel James E. Pepper, in again getting a controlling interest in the distillery that bears his name.
Yeah. So she, in the article that I had read, it mentioned that she saved the distillery part of the business with by through the horse racing business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like James Pepper had sold his controlling interest in it. And so, yeah, she was getting it back for him.
Yeah. So she kind of rebuilt the business before before her own death. Talk to us a little bit about her last few years and why she ended up moving to Mentel Park.
Well, I think she was selling off the property, or well, she had already sold off the property to the Halleys. So, and she was just renting from them. So it was at some point she needed to move away. And she actually isn't even living in Lexington when she dies. James Pepper's death is that purportedly there was going to be a statue of his wife on his grave.
Oh, wow.
And the article on it is fairly long and describes it, but the grave, there's no statue of her, and the grave itself is fairly for them. It's huge, but it's fairly plain.
Where's the burial?
They are in Lexington. Yeah, at least he's in Lexington Cemetery. So in 1907, Mrs. Pepper leaves Meadowthorpe. She closes the deal with Dr. Halley, who will at some point build the airport there. Which a neat story about the airport is that Charles Lindbergh landed there.
And interesting.
His landing was supposed to be a secret, but the little boy that they got to watch his plane obviously told a bunch of people. And so the next day when Charles Lindbergh was to take off, the field was crowded.
Of course. Of course it was.
Yeah. When Colonel Pepper died, he left Ella $95,000 in life insurance, and that's in 1906. And in 1907, she's listed as one of the richest women in Central Kentucky. And at that time, she sold the distillery to a Joseph Wolfe. Two distilleries, James E. Pepper and Company and the Henry Clay Pure Rye Distillery Company. And
that made her the richest woman in Central Kentucky. Yeah.
And then in 1908, I guess after renting from the Halley family, she moves to Mentel Park, which at that time was still basically the country. Like there's a picture in 1940 of the entryway to Mentel Park, and it's just out in a field. Yeah. But at that time, it was being sold off in lots. She bought a new two-story brick residence in 1908, erected near Main Street. And then finally, and there's not much about her after that, except for some social news where she was visiting people. She at one point went she probably went on several tours of the country, but then she ends up living in Bedford, Kentucky.
Oh.
So she was 83 in 1939. She was in Bedford and she died there. And I guess she had also returned to Louisville. It says she died at the home of a niece, Mrs. Philip Nodler. Mrs. Pepper left Lexington soon after the death of her husband in 1905. Both she and her husband had been interested in thoroughbred horses. King's Courier, a horse owned by Mrs. Pepper, was one of the most famous thoroughbreds owned by the Peppers. In 1900, he won the Doncaster Cup in England, nosing out a horse owned by the then monarch, King Edward VII. The Peppers lived at Meadowthorpe, an estate on the Leestown Pike, which subsequently was sold to Dr. and Mrs. Samuel H. Halley. The Halleys resided at the home for a number of years. It is now owned by Hugh R. Taylor, who was the person who started selling off the property as lots.
Yeah, now it's a big residential area. So she obviously lived a very full and rich life and left behind a very large legacy, I guess, in Lexington.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you said, her picture is hanging up in the distillery now.
Yeah. But it's always fascinating to me that because the distillery district was, you know, kind of laid sallow for so long, and then a few entrepreneurs kind of got together and revived it, and then her story kind of came back again, because very little was known about her until the distillery district started to have this revival moment. And
so often with history, focuses so much on what men are doing that you know, even the story of Ella Offutt Pepper is in response to things that her relationship with men or whatnot. And it's horrible that James Pepper died before his time, apparently, but it allowed her the opportunity to
grow as a businesswoman and in her own individual, not linked to another man.
And even then, like, her obituary is fairly short. And while James Pepper's obituary is like a page and a half. You know, like she did so much, but just the way that history works, a lot of it's forgotten.
That was the social standings back then. But obviously she was probably the more the brains behind the business than he was.
Yeah.
It's always fascinating to me to read about these women that kind of operated with the constraints of society, but still managed to be successful and work their way into society and into their own personal growth and success. So,
yeah, and I like that both James Pepper and Ella Pepper seem very likable.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good thing about history, yeah, that you see these business people mm-hmm. who are actually likable. Mm-hmm. So often it just seems like,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe that's just,
well, at least
the
what the
years.
Exactly. And then what the newspapers are sharing with
yeah,
us
yeah.
from that time in history, that point in history. So thank you so much, JP, for sharing your research on Ella Offit Pepper. We appreciate it. And we look forward to see what else you have for us next time. Thank you, everyone. You've been listening to Tales from the Kentucky Room, our podcast on Ella Offit Pepper. Thanks for listening to Tales from the Kentucky Room, a podcast brought to you by the Central Library's Kentucky Room staff at the Lexington Public Library. If you enjoyed listening, please take a minute to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. If you have any questions about local history or genealogy research, you can visit us in the Kentucky Room to use our collection and newspaper microfilm, or you can email us at elibrarian@lexpublib.org. That's elibrarian@lexpublib.org. I'm Miriam, and we'll be back with another trip down Lexington's memory lane.